I would love to invite you to pray with me for a moment. Heavenly Father, thank you for the simple words of a song that is sung over and over. I'm sure many of us remember that song, even just from our youth. The way that your Spirit continues to use these simple words to work on our hearts, to soften us, and to draw us closer to you. Father, we ask that in this moment you would continue to do that work of softening our hearts and drawing us closer to you by your Spirit through these words. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. It is great to be with you. I'm Pastor Ben. I'm our family life pastor here at Royal Redeemer. And I am very excited to begin a new conversation that's going to last us for about 4 weeks on this book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is what we believe the last letter that Paul wrote to his disciple Timothy. Of course, 1 Timothy he wrote while he was out traveling, this letter that he wrote to Timothy. And now 2 Timothy, he's writing while he is in prison. This is towards the end of his life. And many believe, many scholars believe, this is sort of a last will and testament from Paul, the great apostle, to his most beloved disciple, trying to convey perhaps some of the larger and most important truths, at least in Paul's eyes, to Timothy, who he believes is going to carry on his ministry in a certain way. And so for the next couple of weeks, we are going to be looking at this incredible letter and hoping that it works on us along the way. We have a Bible study called Foundations on Wednesday evening where we're going to essentially give you a sneak peek of what the sermon is going to be. So a couple of weeks ago, we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 1. And this Wednesday, we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, and then we're going to preach on that next Sunday. So if you like to be ahead in class and you want to come and hear about what we're going to be talking about on Sunday next week, you can come to that class. We have a really fun time Wednesday evening as we gather together. Well, today we're going to be looking at this idea of guarding. And I got to tell you up front, I love a good heist movie. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's a particular kind of movie in Hollywood. It's about a heist. And these are some of my favorites. Heat, movies like Mission Impossible, Ocean's 11, 12, 13, 8, 22. I feel like I'm buying a lottery ticket. The Italian Job, right? There's always a person who's the driver in the movie, right? There's always the person who's kind of the scheme. First, they had the plan. There seems to be a technology person who can kind of hack into a system. There's a lot of hacking in these kind of movies. Maybe that's why I like it. And I always end up relating more with the people who are trying to steal something than I do with the person trying to protect. That probably says more about me than it does about the movie. But it's there. And something that all of these movies have in common, I'm sure you can think of your favorite one, as well, because this does seem to be an archetype in Hollywood. But there's something about all of these movies that is consistent, and it's simply this, that there is always something that is worth protecting. There's always something that is worth guarding. And typically in these types of movies, they go to very elaborate schemes to try and take that thing that is worth guarding. And I wonder for you, for us perhaps as a culture, what are the things that we guard? What are the things that are so valuable to us that we guard? Certainly, we put locks on our doors. We have PIN codes for our bank. We have all sorts of ways of buckling up and putting airbags in cars, trying to guard the things that are most precious to us, often our children, right, our futures. For Paul, it seems, when he is speaking with his young disciple, Timothy, the one thing that is more essential than anything else for Timothy to guard is the sound teaching that he has received about Jesus Christ. What Paul would call the gospel of Jesus, right? The knowledge that we are saved, that salvation comes in Christ Jesus by grace alone through faith, right? And this is a gift of the Holy Spirit. We haven't earned this, but it comes to us through the Spirit, through baptism and the water that we are washed in, this new life in Christ, that we are drawn into this bigger kingdom of God, right? The gospel of Jesus. And he says this to young Timothy. He says, "What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching. With faith and love in Christ Jesus, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." So according to Paul, there is a particular way, there's a particular shape that the teachings of Jesus are being passed down from disciple to disciple, from person to person, from heart to heart, right? There's a way that the gospel is being preserved. And we see this a little bit earlier in verse 4, right, where he references the sincere faith that Timothy has. And he says, "This sincere faith first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." This indwelling of the Holy Spirit that is passed down. So interesting. Where are the dads in that list? From grandmother to mother to son. This is the way that the gospel of Jesus comes through the faithful teaching of parents and grandparents and people like Paul, like a deposit that's being made into our hearts. And so Paul tells Timothy to hold to the pattern of these sound teachings that he was given. Hold to the pattern. And essentially, he's telling Timothy like an artist. He's saying, "Listen, we have sketched the outline on this canvas already. You've heard the pattern, the rhythm, the shape. We've sketched it out for you. So hold to that pattern and now fill it in with your own vivid colors. Live out the love of the King in your particular context, in your place at this moment in history. The shape will look the same, but the way that we paint within those lines will be a bit different." And this is definitely a theme in Paul's letters that he brings up in different ways over and over again, that there is a particular shape to the gospel, that there is a way that it is passed on, and there is a particular path that it takes. And you can also take that gospel of Jesus then in the wrong direction as well. Just a letter before, in 1 Timothy, you can look and see in chapter 1 how he is telling Timothy to go to this church in Ephesus and to command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer. He says that the goal of Timothy's work is love. And he says that's going to come from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And he says some have departed from these things, and they've turned to a different presentation of the gospel, a different way of understanding the gospel of Jesus Christ. They want to be teachers of the law, he says, but they do not know what they are talking about. And so he tells Timothy to command those people not to teach false doctrines, to guard the pure teaching of Christ, so that it would come through in its fullness and its beauty. And this is something that's really important to Paul, and I think we can see why, because at this point in Christianity, the teachings of Jesus are being passed down largely person to person, largely orally, right? And so if we're not careful, the gospel could take a turn. And I think that the encouragement here from Paul is to say that it could affect a few generations as it's being passed down from grandmother to mother to Timothy, right? And so, of course, we're very thankful for people who wrote down these stories and these words inspired by the Spirit, like Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, to write down these stories of Jesus so that when there is a dispute, now we can go back and we can see. But at this point in time, that's not their reality. And so it's very, very important for them to guard what they had been given, what they had been entrusted with, right? But it's interesting to me the way that Paul says Timothy is to guard that teaching. Because he says that he's going to guard that teaching then with faith and love in Christ Jesus. And I've seen these heist movies, right? I know that's not the best way to guard something. Do you know what I'm talking about? The best way to guard something is with a big case, guards, armed guards, right? Swords, guns, laws. These are the way that we guard things, right? And Christians have tried that over the years. They've tried to guard the words of Jesus with domination and violence. And we see the result. We see the fruit that comes from that. And it's not faith. And it's not love. And oftentimes those efforts cause more damage than good. Because whatever we do to guard the teachings of Jesus, our actions cannot violate the faith and the love that we have received from God. I believe this is why Paul is encouraging Timothy to fan into flame the faith that he has, his personal faith in Jesus. Because that is what is going to give him the energy and the humility through the Spirit to guard these teachings well. The image of fanning into flame is one of adding a log to a bonfire. Right? We can see that it's going out, that it's getting smaller and smaller. And so every day, add a log. Fan into flame. Renew that faith that has been planted in your heart. Rekindle that flame of faith. Because we can see long before the actual flame goes out that a log needs to be added. And for Paul, there is a sense in which it would be a tragedy if Timothy allowed the flame of his personal faith to burn out. That would be a tragedy. But letting his faith burn out would be devastating from the standpoint that Timothy would no longer have the energy or the means to guard the teachings of Jesus well anymore. See, I hear Paul's words here to Timothy more like he is begging than as a command. To hold on to these teachings. Don't let them slip away. These are your life. And Brad Pitt and George Clooney may not be coming to steal those teachings. But there are threats to the teachings of Jesus. If we're going to take Paul seriously, then we have to at least admit that much, that there are threats that we must guard against. And it seems to me that the greatest threats against the faith almost always come from inside the Christian community, as opposed to outside of it. In Luke 17, we hear Jesus speaking to his disciples, and the result of his teaching about watching them. He says, watch yourselves. So someone is coming and cursed is the one who comes and causes them to stumble, causes them to sin. And what's his conclusion? Watch yourselves. Watch your brothers and sisters. If they sin against you, right? If they have lost the plot, then rebuke them. Teach them about the pure teaching, the better way. And if they repent, if they turn and they come back, then we forgive. And we walk together again. Pride, ego, selfishness, anger, judgmental attitudes, busyness, and the faith that was entrusted to us slips away. We let it burn out like a bonfire that burned bright last night. I believe that the greatest modern threat to the gospel of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, and this may be different in other locations around the world and perhaps in other time periods, but for us, regionally, in this moment, the greatest threat is an apathy from Christians towards the whole teaching of Jesus. Not taking the teachings of Jesus seriously, or picking and choosing the parts that we like so that we aren't made uncomfortable, which essentially means we aren't confronted with the fact that perhaps we need to change. And if we are the greatest threat, then we're going to need some help guarding the teachings, essentially, from ourselves. And see, this is why Paul says that we're going to do this with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Because we can't guard the faith on our own. We need a great deal of humility and patience and wisdom. And that isn't going to come from inside. Right? We need God to come and stand with us. That's got to be the only way we can guard the gospel with faith and love, so that He can give us the strength that we need, the tools that we need, the wisdom to use them well, so that 2-3 generations into the future, we'll have the chance to hear about the salvation of Jesus Christ that comes by grace through faith, to hear the gospel, and to be forever changed. That's something that's worth guarding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are humbled by the gift of your Spirit and the ways that you trust us to take these teachings and to do something, to create, to imagine, and to guard in a way that honors you above all. And so, Father, we need your Spirit. And we ask that as your Spirit would guide us, that we would empty ourselves of ego and pride and selfishness, and we would follow where you prompt us to go with great patience for ourselves when we fall short, and with great love for our brothers and sisters who are walking with us. Father, we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.